Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino, get you ready for this week's Summer of Stein with very special guest Matt Hoffman here on the podcast. Very excited for you guys to hear what Eric and Matt have to say. Very fun podcast coming your way. I do want to let you know that this podcast does contain a bit of the adult language. So if you're listening to this in a place where there are young people, you're at work, just a little bit of a heads up for what you are getting into. And then before we get into the conversation today, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Brook Linen, because, you know, you spend one third of your life not just watching Big Brother, but also in sheets. Don't you want them insanely comfortable, like when Christy was wearing the sheet around the house the other night? When you sleep well on hotel quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg. Feel like the head of household with Brook Linen, named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping, and rave reviews from Business Insider, Apartment Therapy, and Men's Health. The mission of Brook Linen is to make you comfortable with luxury towels, sheets, bedding, without the luxury markup. A lot of bedding gets marked up as much as 300%. Forget about that. Get some sheets that don't just feel great, but they also look great too. Nicole and I got to try out a set of sheets from Brook Linen. They are our favorite sheets that we have. You're going to love them too. Plus, their towels are going to turn your bathroom into a spa. I couldn't recommend them more for friends, family, or treating yourself to the upgrade. Treat yourself. You deserve Brook Linen. BrookLinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code Rob at BrookLinen.com. Brook Linen is so confident in all the products that they have. Their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. And the only way to get 10% off and free shipping is the promo code ROB at BrookLinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Rob. Brook Linen. These are the best sheets ever. No sleep till Brook Linen. Yeah, that's right. We are back. First Summer of Stein of September as we start to approach the end of the summer. But we are back here once again to talk some BB21 with my man, my ride or die. Please welcome back the great Eric Stein. Eric, how are you?
Rob, it's good to be here. I thought maybe we'd finally hop back onto video, but alas, I'm wearing a cutout shirt and my nipples are showing.
Good. No bra. So, okay, that's all for the best that we're just audio only. But Eric, we do have some history to be had today, because for the very first time in the history of Summer of Stein, we have a guest with us today.
I could not be more excited for this man. I think it's going to be a mess, and I'm here for it.
All right. Please welcome the Big Brother podcasting legend who is back with us for Big Brother 12. Please welcome the great Matt Hoffman. Matt, how are you?
Hey, how's everybody doing? Thank you. This is such an honor to be the first guest on the Summer of Stein.
And to reunite you with Eric Stein for the first time since 2013's Reality Game Masters.
I know. And it's a good thing we're not on video. I'm awkwardly also wearing my nippleless shirts, so that would have been uncomfortable for
us and the viewing audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we conference in Ian Terry?
We should.
Yeah.
If it, talk Old times, a little nostalgia.
Yes. I heard from him actually last week after I did a podcast on the anniversary of Dan's funeral. And I guess he listened to that podcast and we got to catch up for a little bit. He's doing great, but not following any Big Brother. So I guess doing better than any of us.
You guys probably talked a lot about Reality Game Masters, I'd imagine, right?
Yes, we did a whole... That's going to be the next oral history is all about Reality Game Masters. But Matt Hoffman, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm riding through the summer of Stein, loving life. Things are good. Yeah, it's great. I mean, watching Big Brother. How can you not be doing great during a season of Big Brother, right?
Well... It would be great to hear from you. What's your take on Big Brother 21?
You know, season 20 was a tough season to come off of. It was a good one. So I didn't expect it to be better, and it's not. And, you know, you have your typical reprehensible characters, some good ones. I'm not a Cliff maniac. I hear that's the thing. You guys Cliff maniacs?
Cliffomaniac. I mean,
see, so I don't go down that bandwagon, but it's all right. You know, let's go Cliffomaniacs. We had some racism, which is always interesting to toss into a season. No, not good. Not enough scandal preseason, I think. You know, we had like the minion fucking the prior season, which was awesome, and not really a lot going on. I'm hoping for some postseason stuff. Maybe we can get some one-on-one games for some bullshit charity events going on or something. But we'll have to see, you know, time will tell. But I don't think you can really assess a season until a good 3-4 months after the season's over and you let everybody kind of settle into their kookiness.
So that's interesting. So you really look at the season from a much more like holistic view of the preseason stuff going on of like there was nobody's like Twitter that they found of like any sort of like inappropriate whatever. And then also the postseason, you want to see what happens when they get out of the house.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People in the BB community, oftentimes I've heard, oh, man, Hoffman, he was a great strategist, just went too early. No, I was a seventh place loser. I'm not a strategist. I mean, it's great. I'm sure all these fans that love strategic players and great gameplay, I do like that, but that's not. The Big Brother to me, there's so much more. It's all the trash and bullshit surrounding the whole season, the way it encompasses. It's everything. It's trash reality TV at its finest. And I like the whole thing.
Yeah. Eric, what do you make of the Hoffman-esque view of the world?
Well, I mean, birds and clowns and pies. That's what I'm here for. You know, forget the strategy. I'm here for the nonsense. This is the weirdest camp I've ever attended, and I love it. You know, I'm feeling a little bit down in this podcast, though, because about last time we podcasted, about 2 hours before it all went to complete garbage for her, we decided we were going to stand sis for the rest of the season.
Right.
And now she's gone. So what left is there the roof for, really? Too big of a threat.
Yeah, we put her over too hard. I think that the last time that we actually spoke, Eric, I believe was the ill-fated Taco Tuesday. I think that was, and unfortunately, I think it was the Monday, but it was Taco Monday.
I had some ill-fated tacos this past Saturday, spilled over into Sunday.
We had no idea that was coming. Eric, did you see that LeBron James is trying to trademark Taco Tuesday?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like something he'd have ownership of, like when he's the first person who ever said that. Outrageous. And also, I have some other gripes with some celebrities, albeit a lower level celebrity that I want to get into real quick here. So I was out in the Los Angeles area last week for work, and few things. First of all, I contacted one of the EPs of Big Brother and asked if I could swing by the house, and I was flatly rejected. They said, no way in hell. It was just a plain no, no consideration, no justification, just do not come here under any circumstances whatsoever. But then secondarily, I got stuck in outrageous traffic, as one does out there.
Yes.
And I tweeted my complaints because I was in standstill traffic parked on the freeway, so I was able to send out a tweet. And I started getting all of these messages from people saying that a gentleman from Vanderpump Rules stole my tweet without credit, put it in his Instagram story, pawned it off as his own and commented on it. And then all kinds of thousands of people are reacting to it. I do not like this. I do not like this. And then even more bizarre, he does not follow me. So I'm wondering, how did he come across this tweet? Why did he steal it? And why do people care what he says so much more than they care what I say? And now I'm here to make sure that at least 20 people care what I say to redeem myself for this total injustice.
What was the tweet?
I don't know. I was just complaining about the traffic. It wasn't even a good tweet. I was just flabbergasted why this man was trolling my page and stealing this from me. I mean, if Matt did that, I'd expect that, but not this man.
Matt, what do you make of this? Is some Vanderpump Rules guy following Eric Stein on Twitter only to steal his tweets?
Okay, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. What I'm about to say might hurt some feelings, but this is what my assessment of the situation. Or actually, it actually might be flattering, to be honest. I think typically when people behave in this way, I think the Vanderpump Rules guy is actually like a huge Eric Stein fan, but he might be shameful about it. So he doesn't want to follow Stein, but he's frequently up in Stein's social club. So I think you have yourself a Vanderpump fan.
I'm going to say I think he's might be plotting to kill me, but I'm not sure.
That too, you may end up chopped up in a freezer somewhere. And
are we sure that you are in fact the person with the original tweet, Eric?
Yeah, it was a very Eric-esque wording. So I don't think it's something that other people were out there recreating. This is not a LeBron James situation here. I do believe that I was a patient zero of this tweet, yeah, for sure.
LeBron James, also a creator of the $1 million mile before trademarking Taco Tuesday. Matt, is it possible? Did you watch $1 million mile?
No, did anybody?
Kurt Clark did. That Eric, could we have some sort of a Taco Tuesday tie-in for a return for the $1 million mile?
I feel like they could pass out tacos along the way, like you hand out water during a marathon. I mean, a mile's not that long. It probably won't cramp them up too much, but it does feel like it would have been maybe better for Candy Crush, potentially, or TKO even.
Yeah, TKO Tuesday.
Yeah, fling tacos at them. Taco knockout.
Yeah. Okay. A rough week for Kevin Hart also. So hopefully he's doing okay.
Would Tyler do a TKO All-Star? Or is he like too into the Tangela world now?
I don't think that he would do it. What do you think, Eric?
I feel like he's probably going to steal a tweet of mine before he goes back on that show. That's feeling more like the level he's riding at these days.
Okay. All right. So here we are headed towards the double eviction as things start to really get to the end game. Has this been a good season, Matt?
This one, unlike most, I'm liking more towards the end. I like that it's been a bit unpredictable. I'm not sure what direction it's going to take now. This whole, you know, three couples at the end thing is could go any direction. So I like that. I like that element is good.
Eric, let me ask you about the state of our showmance in the house. Jackson and Holly, this has not taken place on the episode yet, so a little bit of some live feed spoilers, but they've been feuding a bit this week. And Chesman wants to know, which CBS relationship will last longer, Jackson and Holly or Bob and Amishola?
Ooh, yes, that is... Well, I think Jackson and Holly are going to be done about 20 minutes after the finale. So I normally like to give people that grace period of about 6 weeks where they can capitalize on their appearance fees and so forth, maybe make the podcast rounds, for example. But this does not feel long for this world. So I definitely believe in the true love of Bob and Abishola far greater than anything that Jackson and Holly will ever see. I think it's more like Jackson and Holly or Big Jeff and his original relationship with mosquitoes.
For the uninitiated, Bob and Abishola is, Eric, what is the plot of this show?
I don't know. I have seen quite a few commercials, but nothing that I have witnessed yet would help me articulate that. I can't really make heads or tails of it. He has grown in a very nice mustache since Mike and Molly. That much I can say, but I don't know. We'll have to tune in and find out.
Bob is a middle-aged compression sock businessman from Detroit who unexpectedly falls for his cardiac nurse while recovering from a heart attack and sets his sights on winning her over. Undaunted by Abishola's lack of initial interest or vast differences in their backgrounds, she's originally from Nigeria. Bob is determined to win Abishola's heart in this comedic examination of immigrant life in America from award-winning creator, executive producer, and writer Chuck Lorre. Matt, will we have a Bob and Bob Hart's Abishola veto competition soon?
Look, I don't know what the fuck you guys have been talking about for the last 2 minutes.
This is a new CBS premiere coming.
I thought you were reading like a Netflix pitch that Stein did or something until you got to like the very end and you were saying, I don't know what's going on. In the interest of showmances and the entirety of the season, the showmance that I'm looking forward to panning out, and we have to wait till postseason. That's why you can't assess this, is the Nick and Bella thing. Because I love that he's all into her and she broke up with him via Twitter when he can't even read Twitter. Like the whole thing's, I want to see what happens there.
Yeah. That's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out because Nick has been very amorous in the house where she's been watching the live feeds and Matt, it doesn't seem like that Nick feels like he's done anything wrong.
No, he doesn't. We see this on the show sometimes. There's the Christine at season. This is not the first time that people get kind of like comfortable in the house and their partners are maybe not as comfortable.
What about Jackson and Holly, Matt? That you were on a season with Brendan and Rachel. You married Brendan and Rachel, correct?
Yeah, I didn't, not like in a polyamorous
place.
Yeah.
Right. But you conducted the ceremony to wed Brendan and Rachel. So you know a thing or two about showmances. So do you think that Jackson and Holly have a shot?
This day and age, it's tough. With all the hashtags and social media and stuff, I totally agree with Stein. They're going to wisely stay together to do some influencing or whatever people are doing nowadays. But back in our day, it was genuine and sweet and scary. You know, Brenchel is just weird and pure. This is all this stuff nowadays. Showmances are just it's marketing bullshit.
Yeah. Eric, if one of them does not go on to win, do you think that for the marketing purposes that they have to stay together for at least a few months to cash in?
I mean, I don't think anyone's really clamoring to line up to see them. I mean, I made a couple of appearances in minor league hockey games back in the day, and I feel like that's probably about the level they're rolling at now. I mean, maybe if they're really lucky, they can stay relevant enough to make an appearance on Young Abishola, the spinoff, in a few years.
Well, now we have a whole other factor in play because of the MTV. Now they can go on X on the Beach if they just stay long enough and then break up. There's a whole other like play going on with Big Brother alum.
Yeah.
That Stein and I never factored into.
Well, I'm sure they would have really been clamoring to get us on the challenge.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I think they need each other. I think that Holly, unless she like ceremoniously like kicks Jackson to the curb, I feel like that is her thing. I know she's been upset about that in the house, but without the Jackson and Holly, I don't know what she has.
I don't think she has anything, any way you slice it. I mean, she has
you slice the watermelon.
Yeah, some chewed up watermelon and some regrets. I mean, has there ever been a power couple that has been in control for a larger chunk of the game who is doing a worse job with their power? I mean, that by not finishing Christy over Sis. I mean, when you have a good player up against a bad player, it's kind of like you have them wobbling like in Mortal Kombat. You finish them. That's what you need to do. And then you don't put up Christy against Tommy, so you're not assuring that you can get one of them out. I mean, this is not the correct way to win the game. And then thinking that they just under the radar, nobody realizes they've won the last 27 competitions. I mean, come on, guys. You're doing well, but you are doing so, so badly at the same time. It's a fascinating juxtaposition to me.
Matt, do you think that Jackson and Holly can ride this out and somehow get back under the radar?
they're not going to get under the radar. They'd have to do like a Kevin Martin thing, you know, and just kind of beast mode it out together. That's right. I think that's their only hope at this point in the season.
When you say beast mode it out, you mean play like Caleb beast mode Cowboy Reynolds?
Yeah. Yes. No. No.
Actually, a heat stroke might help Jackson at this point. Could possibly gain him some sympathy for a week if he wants to go survivor beast mode.
Yeah. And then people will start to underestimate him.
That's right.
Although impossible to believe that one could suffer a heat stroke when they consume 19 watermelons a day.
Oh, wait, Matt, were you there for the great Zingbot heat incident? Or was that after your timer on season 14?
That was 14. That was season 14.
Oh, man. Was that you inside of there?
It's baby Zingbot?
Yeah, exactly.
Stein, quiet, come on. I'm still under contract, NDA, non-disclosure.
Okay. Eric, speaking of the Zingbot, he came in and then also upset Holly with his tweet that she was an old buzzard. That really made her upset, especially when she got the connotation that a buzzard might be somebody who swoops in after somebody else already gets the first shot as a guy, which I had not ever heard that slur before of a buzzard. But Andrew Umphrey wants to know, top 10 old buzzards in Big Brother history.
Oh, man. There has been plenty of buzzarding in my day. But now, which definition are we using? Because I do think that colors the situation differently.
Any way you want to go for the top 10 old buzzards.
I'd feel like both Jerrys were up there.
So wait, hold on. So are we just talking about, like old people? Or are we talking about, because I thought the whole deal is like the sloppy seconds. Isn't that the point?
I think it's open to interpretation. It's your list. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we have room for 10.
Okay. We got some.
You know, I feel like didn't Judd have some sort of situation where he passed himself from woman to woman for a while? He feels like he may have encountered some buzzards back in the marshland or whatever. But I guess that doesn't make him the buzzard, right? It makes whoever else the buzzard.
Yeah, no one else has banged like sloppy second wise on Big Brother, right? This is the first. This is like groundbreaking.
That doesn't feel right. There has to have been some, right?
Yeah.
Let's think about this, right? There had to be other like pre-feed things that then fell apart prior to like the real showmans, right?
Here's what I don't get about this, though. And I feel like that this happens a lot, that these people who are recruits know almost nothing about the show, that they say it's almost like at times it's like it is mind-blowing how little they know. But for whatever reason, people seem to know, hey, live feed cameras don't turn on to this day, so we can have sex before this date and nobody will be able to see it. And this seems like that people are on board with this plan.
What I thought you were going to say is that for some reason, one of the only things that they think that they know is that the live feed cameras don't film them when they have sex, which is also believable because the producers probably tell them that.
That people will only be able to film us have sex with video cameras, but people will not be able to be watching live. Like, oh, okay.
I feel like Shelly of Clelly was probably an old buzzard, right?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a real good one.
Because that was a little bit, that was like a similar, age gap, right? It was a little bit of semi-cougar territory.
And I think a similar fate of the relationships as well.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to be funny. I actually had to really rack my brain to remember who was Clay and who was Corey. I struggled there for a minute.
Corey's the guy who lit the goat on fire. Oh, yes, that was, remember?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know what it, I guess he's on one of the MTV shows, Eric, because I was on Twitter the other day and I like TMZ was just like tweeting like, here's Corey Brooks working out on the beach.
Yeah, like, here's Corey flexing on the beach. Yeah,
like, what is this like personalized to me because I podcast about Big Brother? Why is TMZ tweeting this?
It was so weird. Yeah, we need like Stein out on the streets, you know, like in TMZ. Here's Eric Stein flexing in, you know, Central Park or something.
Looking if mighty Corey clammy. Brooks,
yeah, if Corey Brooks was flexing right in front of me, I'm not sure I would know who that is. So I certainly wouldn't photograph it.
It's newsworthy. Okay. All right. Let's talk about some of the other things going on in the game. And a lot with Christy being up on the block these last few weeks. Matt, well, what's your take on Christy, the Big Brother player?
You know, it's weird because I like at a strictly game, I think she's avoiding the block. She has an argument for a win if she makes it to the end, I would say. But if she is not so irritating, and it's not just the crying, that's a huge part of it, definitely. But I mean, I'm going to say I feel bad for her about that chewing segment, too, as hysterical as it was. Maybe a little raw. I think that was a little like picking on her. But what I particularly think about Christy and Tommy as well is if either of them get the final two and win, and then after everyone votes, then they find out that they were together. I feel like I'd be super pissed off if I was on that jury. And also I'd want to undo my vote. I feel I was misled. It's just all kind of bullshit that they got that advantage. And I don't think it would be fair if either of them win.
Do you think that the show would be happy or unhappy with a Tommy Christy final two, Matt?
I'm probably unhappy. I think, I don't know. Maybe they'd be happy because they finally did something right. You know, their twists are just constantly fucking
but
up.
But they didn't do this never... on purpose.
Well, they'll take the credit, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Eric, is this like where if they get to the end together, are they going to do like a big reveal? Like, hey, what you didn't know was that like Derek was a cop the whole season. And that's like a big surprise on finale night. Or do they risk where people like does the entire cast revolt at that point where they then reveal, hey, this whole summer, Tommy and Christy knew each other and they made it to the final two. And that's how they did it.
Yeah, that is a no way. That is a at 5 minutes after the show, pull them one by one back into the green room and break the news to them type of situation. Oh. When they did my big finale reveal about America's Player, they conveniently neglected to mention that I was winning additional money as America's Player. So the cast did not melt down on stage when they heard about the unfairness of this entire concept. And I think they do not want negative reactions during the live finale night. So I think honestly that they intended to call up Vanessa and have her come back this season. And they just kind of took a wrong turn along the way and ended up with her doppelganger, Christy, instead. I mean, she's playing the almost identical game now, so emotionally manipulative, all of the crying, very frenzied. And these type of players, they are dangerous because I'm a logical thinker. I know what another logical person would do in this situation, or someone who knows the game would do in this situation. I do not know what a freaking crazy person would do in these situations. And it makes them especially smart and crazy, because then where is she coming from? And I got to give her some credit here. I mean, to survive against that dimwit sis, I mean, is incredible when you are such a big threat. And the fact that she's been on the block now several weeks in a row, it got me thinking that what Spencer did on Big Brother 15 was nothing short of incredible to survive the block 8-9 times, whatever it was. Most people don't survive the block once, maybe twice, but to be up week after week after week as a big threat, you got it. She's doing something right. And I do think she's extremely advantaged by this bogus relationship that they have. But hey, she's not the one who made this piss poor decision, so can't fault her for making the most of it.
Let me pose this question to you. Let's say one of them makes it to the final two, the other one makes it before final three, so on the jury but not final three. Do they tell the jury, hey, do they like reveal that? Because I think Tommy wouldn't, and I think Christy foolishly would, but do you think either of them do that?
I would definitely not if I were them, but I could see Christy doing it. I mean, Rob, I think this is perfectly time for you to tell us what Tommy would beg Christy on her way out the door not to do. Don't cast these votes, right? Don't tell anyone.
Christy, when you're a juror, you can't tell anybody that we know each other. You can't tell her. Don't tell a soul. You're crazy if you tell anybody. You're going to blow it for everybody.
Yeah, I think that Christy is the kind of person that once she gets to the jury house, she's going to, like, it's killing her to not tell everybody. Like, I think that she's going to want to, like, I kept this secret the whole season, and now I can't wait to tell you guys. Let's see the look on your face.
She'll take his game.
Yeah, she's going to take her proverbial bra right off and let it fly. Basically, I agree. I think she's going to basically do a diarrhea of the mouth information dump if she's ever out of the game. She will tell everyone every thought she's ever had because all you got is time in that house.
But then, I mean, play that out. Does that then go from a scenario where Tommy may have won had she not done that to where she goes in and totally just fucks up his game and he might not win?
100%. 100% done.
That would be such, as a viewer, what a satisfying thing to have happen, I feel.
Because right now, Tommy is, he's the person who has everyone snowed. He's not playing any magical game or anything, but Sis comes out loving him. Nick seems like he's feeling good with him. Jackson won't go after him. He's like the guy who everyone's like, oh, I love Tommy, or oh, I never thought it would be Tommy. So he's the person that everyone feels most connected to. So I think they'd be totally butthurt by the entire thing. And I kind of agree with you, Matt. I feel like that would be the real slap in the face of production, right? For the whole thing to go up in flames and then just have like Nicole or Holly win at that point. I think that would be a real laugh a minute for the finale night. Great segment, too.
So Delivery J has a question. Eric, what would the Summer of Tommy podcast look like?
Lots of splits, right? I think that's actually the only thing I know about him. I've been watching him all summer, but I really can't tell you much about him. I'm still plainly on the taking the stance that I'm not going to insult Tommy whatsoever, because I really want him to hook me up with Broadway tickets when the season's over. So I think it would be an amazing podcast.
Yes,
that's where that's where I'm sticking with.
Yeah, I think that there would be he could like make a lot of dances as like there could be like some reenactments. You know, that Tommy might be somebody who's better at sort of like talking about what's going on than actually being a character on the show, Matt.
Tommy reminds me of like if season 14 Will Heiser was Walmart, yes. Tommy would be like Target. He'd be or, you know, or Nordstrom's maybe even. He's like a better, like a more like an upgraded version of Will in that way. Like the theatrics and the, yeah, I get that vibe of him.
Okay. All right. If there's a question for you, Eric, from Derek, who wants to say, whose face does Eric look at when he wants to see home? And has Eric ever forgotten what baby Dino the dog's bark sounds like? Of course, that Christy this week told us.
I'm starting to forget what the bark of my dog sounds like.
I could never forget what the bark of my dog sounds like because he barks incessantly 22 hours a day.
You wish you could forget.
Yeah, it's drilled into my head like a permanent migraine. So I could never forget that. As far as faces I see when I see home, well, the big brother home, I'm apparently not welcomed back yet anymore. I'm persona non grata. They made that very clear when I reached out. So,
Eric, you can never look at the big brother house and see home.
Oh, man. Yeah, I
you
guess,
can never look at the big brother house and see home.
What? What was that?
What?
Big brother loves you.
Yes.
This reminds me. I heard your discussion of this the other night. My favorite all-time interlude from The Voice in the Sky was one time we got a Danielle, don't be a dickhead. That was my favorite of all time.
We got don't be an asshole. You got don't be a dickhead for real?
Yeah.
That's so funny. How crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah, every once in a while they'll slip one in to make sure that you're paying attention.
So how does that work? Is the announcer guy in the booth, or does he just have those recorded?
No, they're all recorded. So it's just if whoever's like working the shift is bored, they'll interact with you. So like if you wipe up the countertops occasionally, they'll give you like a thank you or something like that. But also mostly reprimands in my case. I think I may have set the all-time record for the you're not allowed to talk about your diary room sessions with the other house guests. Mm-hmm. I actually got called in for like a dead serious sit down with the EPs, like with all kinds of threats of you know, penalty noms and fines if I continued to do so. So it's mostly annoyance, but occasionally they will sprinkle in a surprise treat for you.
Yeah, this really blew my mind.
Big Brother loves you.
Yeah. Matt, did you ever get a pick-me-up from Big Brother announcer guy?
No, I didn't. But I will say about that particular one, that sounds like to me, I had a different answer than Stein said about to your question, because I talked to Don Wolman in my finale about just that kind of situation, those like weirdo ones you get. And he said that some of them were pre-recorded, but there were times he said if he's wandering around, if he's working like in the shift that day, he would go in and just to like fuck around, like live do them sometimes. So sometimes it is actually Don Wolman just, you know, at his shift, I guess, or fucking around at the office, and he'll pop in.
That would be a great competition. He should just do it all day long, just trolling them, and then they should ask them questions about it. I feel like that would play well. Also, really bizarre, and this has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I was just thinking of the segment since last we spoke. How weird was Jack's jury segment where 2 weeks ago they bury this guy as if he was every problem that ever existed in 21 seasons of the show was his fault. And now he's like has this weird Bachelor in Paradise like style segment where he's like all alone and he's all laughs and so campy. I mean, what were we supposed to feel about that? I mean, I actually the funny thing is it kind of worked for me. I feel like it was like totally made up for his tyranny and horrible actions from earlier in the season. He's beloved now.
Well,
I think what's going on is that they're preparing because they know at finale Sis is going to be pregnant. So they need to make him like look like a good dude. You know,
he served his time. They dragged him. And now I guess they feel like that now he's back to square one because they talked about him as this comedic series of hijinks in the jury house, Eric.
When we return, Three's Company in the jury house.
He's a regular John Ritter. He's tripping over the couches in there and everything. I feel like he might be in line for like a redemption arc where he shaves his head and comes back like completely reformed for a different season. Like he's all tidied up. Like I'd like to see like the new and improved Jack return to the show. Yeah. I think that'd be fantastic.
I mean, his name is Jack, much like exactly on Three's Company. Could we come up with a premise for a Three's Company, an episode from the jury house of Jack, Kat, and Sis living together, Matt?
Oh, are we doing this improv thing now? Is that
sure. Sure.
Theater.
I couldn't do it on the podcast on Thursday night because I was on the podcast with two women who are not born.
Yeah, not even a thought at the time that show was out.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to watch it as a kid. We need a Mr. Furley character for like the real kind of.
Who could we get to come in?
I feel like it would be either me or Matt, probably.
One of you would have to be Mr. Roper.
All right. I feel like we have lots of Larrys in the Big Brother world. I feel like that we have covered easily.
This is a whole separate podcast.
Is that James Ryan? Is Larry the hanging out at the Regal Beagle?
Oh man. Hanging out at the airport when the girls get off the show.
The Regal Beagle is actually the O'Hare Chili's.
That's code. He's like texting Kemi, I loved you on the show. I'll see you at the Beagle, girl.
Eric, what would be the pilot episode of Jury Three's Company?
I think it's most likely, and this is not even this is just probably just a jury threesome is most likely the plot of the Three's Company pilot. With, I mean, like, Kat had been there all of, what, 30 seconds before she was sitting in his lap. So, feel like when Sis arrived, she's a whatever feels good kind of gal. They probably just ran with it. How awkward when Nick arrived and tried to interject himself into this.
Yeah, well, Nick is definitely going to be odd man out in the jury house, Matt.
Can I just watch, guys?
Yeah. He's tried to inject himself into all sorts of different scenarios in the Big Brother house. I can only imagine what's going to be like.
Yo. What are you guys doing here?
Yo, is there room for me? Yeah, we'll see what Nick is going to be able to do. Once he gets in there, let's talk about a person who could potentially go out of the house this week on Thursday night. Jess, we haven't talked about Jess very much. Matt, do you have any thoughts on Jess?
Look, every season needs their Kathy, and we have Jess. So I love her for all those same kind of, you know, she's terrible, but great for all the reasons that she, you know, you don't ever want to say a Big Brother player is great, but she is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they should keep her around, but I don't know that they're going to. I don't know.
Matt, I'm curious to hear your stance because we haven't gotten the chance to discuss this with you yet. How did Nick and Jess make it through the casting process? And Sis, so potentially three potential evictees in a row. How did they sit down, spend time interviewing these people, and then decide, you know what? I need to see 100 days of them.
Okay, to me, Jess least puzzling.
Yeah,
Sis second. Nick is an absolute, like, total mystery. Jessica, she fills this unfulfilled void yet. At least it's something new. She's like a decent looking plus size girl, you know, like whatever. They haven't had that, I don't think. So that makes sense to me. They just want to toss her on, even if she's not that great at anything else beyond filling this archetype. And then Sis is kind of the opposite. She's just like super smoking hot athletic chick. So whatever. She could be a total dimwit. Who cares? Doesn't know Big Brother. Who cares? Eye candy.
I also
Nick
think
is the mystery.
Part of the puzzle was, I think they had a ton of people and they were looking at also, okay, we could put this person on Love Island. We could put this person on Big Brother. Like in all seriousness, I think that she was sort of like in like a big pile of like, we have a lot of hot people. We're going to put some of them into Big Brother. We could put some of them into Love Island. But Nick, with all due respect,
Sis got on the wrong flight. Then they should have sent her to Fiji.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I think she could have won Love Island conceivably. Yeah.
It's like a movie where then like they were walking down the halls of CBS with like the stack of headshots going to Love Island, and like a breeze blew her headshot into the wrong pile, and she ended up in the Big Brother house, and nobody caught the mistake. But yeah, I'm sorry, Matt. Back to you with Nick. You were going to explain how Nick got on Big Brother.
No, I was going to explain how it makes absolutely no fucking sense how Nick got on Big Brother. He's the most puzzling one.
I don't know. I shouldn't be saying this. I'm not into dudes, but I don't think he's super attractive. Probably if you were into dudes. And
Zingbot dragged his haircut. I think we can.
I'm not saying he's ugly. He's just not, you know, he's not eye candy. He's boring as they come. Despite his, I mean, you must have a clip or something of him saying how funny he is, right? To Julie.
I'm
funny. So he's really just, he's just a mess on all accounts. I don't get it.
I mean, I've seen myself with my shirt off recently. He looks about like he's riding at Eric Stein's midlife body at this point. So that's not the reason. Certainly wasn't for the eye candy. I mean, he was a real creep, which is ground we've covered time and time again on the show before. So he's not a new archetype. I really don't know. He seemed like they tried to bill him preseason as being woke, which in and of itself is really nothing I don't think anyone needs to see for the show. But then he was super not at all aware in that way. So, right. I mean, what was he? Was he the horn dog? Was he?
And there you go. And that's another weird thing. So then as puzzling as it is, you go, okay, how does he even get onto the show? But then he does. He hits that jackpot and gets on. And then he's like, there are multiple people that are letting him paw them and handle them, and men and women. And you go, what is it? What's with this guy? Maybe when you're in person with him, something happened. Maybe he's got a mist of some kind that gives an appeal that we as viewers just cannot fucking see in any way.
Yeah. I mean, he reminded me a lot all season of Scotty from last year, in terms of like you kept waiting for the moment you were going to see, like, okay, here it comes, they're about to turn it on, and it never happens, you know. It's like you were waiting, it was all gonna click, and he was just biding his time, and then he was gonna take complete control of the game. Never took any control. I agree, but he must have, you're right, he must be have some sort of sex appeal or magnetism that is just not coming through the screen, right?
Well, I wondered if in casting Matt, he might have really just been like talking up his game and like how diabolical, to borrow your word, that he was going to be on the show.
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like a lot of people probably do that. So he would just get tossed in the mix. I'm really puzzled as to what the deal is. It must be just something. He must have something. I'd be almost afraid to meet him. Like, what if I fall for him in some way?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep him at a foot's distance just to be safe. I think I thought of you, Matt, when Christy kept swearing on her sister. And I was thinking it could be some next level strategy to go into the house with fake loved ones and relatives to swear on all the time. I feel like that you sort of brought that to the universe. And now maybe Christy has, you know, refined it for a new generation, except she does have a sister and she lied all the time. But that, you know, that's neither here nor there. It would have been a good strategy if she had completely fabricated.
Yeah, I manifested it, some would say. I agree. I mean, you're right. I took the easy way out, just faking a disease. I could have faked an entire human being. That would have
been. Did you discuss this in casting, by the way? Was this part of your process of getting on the show, or did you surprise production with this?
No, I surprised production myself. I was kind of, it wasn't a very well thought out plan at all at any point. No.
Now, is this part of the reason that you are not a Cliffomaniac, that you feel like that Cliff has done all this talking about his wife and has not made up a fake disease to give her in the house?
Yeah, pandering to his healthy wife. dancing, and I don't like the hands up in the DR all the time. That's just, it's so irritating to me for some reason.
What do you mean, hands up in the diary?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, how can you not? Put your hands down, man. All the time. It's like, it's almost,
he does this like shruggy explaining movement.
Yeah, it's real condescending. Everything he says, I feel like it makes me just feel bad about myself. And all his SK314. So I don't want to fucking hear his, I'm done with that. I don't want to be Cliffomaniac, but I like he's a little ruthless. I like his gameplay, but then everything else is terrible. The dancing and the wife is enough.
I noticed that I think five of the final seven here are five of the older people in the house, which was the same thing as it was on my season. And I was wondering if, like, maybe just the older players are a little bit more level, or maybe they just want it a little bit more. So, you know, like they just go that extra mile to try and keep themselves there. Or, you know, I don't know. This is not funny at all. This is just an actual observation. But I was ruminating on this the other day and was thinking there has to be something to this. Did that happen on your season, Matt, where the older players, some of the end game players? Not really, right? No.
Kathy, definitely a powerhouse. Yes, she wanted it. She was there to play.
And the regular Kale on my season.
Enzo was a comp beast. He was our next oldest, followed by Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Some of the breakout stars of your season.
Yeah. I was next. Yeah, so good theory, Stein.
Yes. All right. All the master strategists who wanted it most.
Matt, do you have a good read on who is going to win the game?
No, and that's why I kind of dig what's happening this season. That's specifically why. I think Nicole has the least shot, and it's unfortunate because I like her as a character. But other than that, I think it could go anywhere.
Eric, do you feel like you have a sense of how this is going?
I think it's probably going to be a Tommy or Christy win is my gut instinct. Holly, I think, has played for my money the cleanest traditional Big Brother game, to keep your nose out of things and to do just enough and to insulate yourself and be well protected by your allies. I mean, I've liked her positioning and Tommy's positioning all game, but I really think they have sunk themselves with the way that they've handled these last few weeks of power. And I still cannot get myself to a place where Cliff wins, not because he wouldn't win the vote, but because everyone knows they would lose a vote to him. And I've come back to this all season long, is that he is, you'd have to be out of your mind to bring this man to the final two with you. So I think that he is, in my estimation, the least likely to be sitting in the final two of the remaining players. And, you know, I think Nicole's going to have a tough argument to make at this point, unless she goes on some sort of a crazy comp beast run, which does not seem that likely. She does not have a strong argument for having dictated this action at all. I mean, if you really think about it, Christy, Jackson, and Jack, I would say, have dictated the vast majority of the evictions this season. And everyone sees Christy and Jackson as those threats now. They might get picked off along this way. I don't know. I still feel like whoever's left sitting there of Tommy or Christy is the likely winner. What do you guys, what do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I've been on Tommy all season long. I feel like that he's going to win, but I wonder if it's could be just like the ninth season of Big Brother in a row where that Tommy gets to the end and loses to people that somebody inferior who the jury doesn't want to give it to Tommy. And loses by one vote.
I think that's definitely in the realm of possibility. One of the things I've been struggling with is I think these are the six best players of the season, but that kind of speaks to why it's a middle of the road season for me, because they're not that great. So someone's got to win. But I mean, are you going to be singing? I mean, I guess I could talk myself into Jackson, Christy, or Tommy as having been deserving winners. But the other three, it's tough for me to feel like. But then again, can you talk yourself into Casey and Nicole and Morgan and Josh and Steve? It's been a while, guys.
It's been a minute.
Is there any way that the season could play out that Paul Abrahamian could come in second place? Is that something?
If he gets in now,
can
at
we
this
see
point,
that happen?
Yeah, that I think he's got a good shot at it.
The Paul Jess final two.
Yeah.
America voted and Paul's coming back.
Paul's coming back in. Let me ask a Jess question for Matt. Melissa wants to know, what famous movie scenes could we put Jess's screaming fall into? Now, Matt, you are famously a big horror guy. Could we put Jess's scream into any movies?
I think the psycho shower scene would actually be really funny. That's a great idea. Do that. Somebody do that.
Okay. So, and then Matt, before I cue this up, then who in this scenario is Norman Bates? Can you cast this also?
Okay. Well, Norman Bates should, I guess, be like, you know, Grodner is production in some capacity. You know?
But then it has to really be somebody else.
That really is. Oh, I see.
Like,
yeah,
a Scooby-Doo element to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's someone dressed like Grodner. stabbing a showering Jessica.
Yeah, exactly. It's Frankie and Mommy.
Frankie dressed as a Grodner breaking into the Big Brother house while Jessica is showering.
Okay, all right.
Or is it my brother Cody and his dad kissing on the lips?
And also the Big Brother shower has come up quite a bit this season so far, Eric.
I think they
a lot
need
of shower talk. Okay, so what a way to go for Jess. Eric, how about that scene where Jackson was telling her this week about how she was going to be going up on the block? Here was her reaction.
People think that I am this like memory, like person. Like, I'm not that person. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like. I suck ass.
That's one of the reasons they need to clean out the showers. This is bad. If I had been watching that and I was in the production offices at that point in time, I would have called her the diary room. It was like one of those videos where you see a newscaster stroking out. I was worried. I was spit it out, lady. What is happening here?
She was so stunned.
Did anyone watch the beads? Is that real? Because I got the impression that was edited, like they kept putting extra lights in there. Did that really go down like that?
Yeah. That.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
They do that, right, Eric? They don't like edit the footage together in like a conversation, right?
No, I think that it was your. I think it was like what she was really saying.
Remember that Miss Southern, what is it, Miss South Carolina, the like such as, that you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, you yeah,
know,
yeah.
Pageant
from season. Amazing Race, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was from Amazing Race. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jess is a bit of an old buzzard.
Well, she was the one person ever that she put in her bio for age. She said 30-ish, is that what she said?
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be part of her character. Like, I think she was supposed to be like a real grand dame diva type of character.
You know, grandma.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, kind of a casting miss there with Jess. So
I disagree. I'm going to disagree on that assessment. I think it was a great casting.
Well,
not for what they've thought, maybe. But.
I don't think she was in on the joke, though.
No,
that's the thing. She's
no.
not self-aware in that way. Right. I think they finally found their footing. I think what really where the season started to pick up is when they realized that the viewers more or less hate everybody and just started just shitting on the entire cast in the edit. I think that's where it started actually getting fun, when they just started making everyone look like the morons that they actually are. When they were trying to protect everyone, not as fun. Now that they're just going all in on it, I think they, you know, right, they're finding the kernels of goodness in everybody, at least from the entertainment standpoint.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Jess is that she was the person who made the biggest move of the season when she put Jack and Jack's son on the block and then got Jack out of the house. And somehow, Matt, her narrative is she is a super boring idiot who is now going to go out of the house and is getting the Dodo music.
I'm still all for that edit, because that happened to her in a week that, I mean, it was just so obvious, and there were people in her ear. You know how it is when you're weak HOH. You're really not HOH. If you're weak HOH, everyone's kind of like, so yeah, she did the deed, I guess. A very obvious deed. I don't know. I don't think that alone sells her as going, why are they doing this to poor Jessica? She's a Dodo.
Mm-hmm.
Definite all-star.
Bring her back. Okay. Let me ask a question for Matt Hoffman. Zaddy Taran wants to know, is it a compliment being mistaken for Matt Kleins? Can you talk about a recent tweet that you received, Matt Hoffman?
Yeah, this really was like the first offensive troll to me in like a decade. And they removed the tweet.
Deleted, so we can't see what it is that caused
it. I hope they thought.
Yeah, you reacted
horrible about it.
You reacted and said, okay, I think you have the wrong BB Matt, and congrats on being the first troll in nearly a decade to offend me. So what was the tweet that you received from this person who then went ahead, and I guess this is Heba 5050.
Yeah, well, Heba 5050 somehow pulls me into some conversation with JC and I don't know, who knows, Winston or Casey or I don't know, someone from that season. And they start talking about how they're eating cereal. And then I get tagged. So I'm like, oh, you know, you eat as much cereal as this guy. You know, it's like, come on, man. I mean, I may not be irrelevant or memorable, but don't tarnish whatever my legacy is with that dude. I feel like there's been three BB Matts, you know, And I actually like the other BB Matt too, but this, the third BB Matt, it's just like, it's rough to take
one,
when people
like
can't
the
even
one
get that right.
That was from the Big Brother 9.
Yeah, like your life trajectory is probably more apt to steer closer to his than Matt Klein's. If they were going to tag you as someone.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment either, Stein, but.
Well, is there any way, you're looking at this all wrong, is there any way you can parlay this into Raven sending you nudes, if possible?
I don't know.
Just roll with it. Just give it like a week. Maybe you can assume his identity and see what happens.
Catfish Raven?
I don't know. I outed her mom as a non-Menson during her season. I think she hasn't liked me ever since that point.
Does she know about that? I can't imagine that's
Does
on
she
her
know
radar.
Who you are? If you just, I'm saying from your current handle, from contact her and be like, hey, I'm thinking of rekindling things between us. Let's start talking again.
Yeah, be like, hey, had to change my Twitter handle. Things were getting out of control. Change my picture.
Right. Then
show me your scars or something.
Right. And then you can also drop a DM to A Baller. You have a busy week. Get things up and running.
Yeah, let's get the business back together.
Before you get busted by the same guy that came after the Zingbot. Eric, what do you think about that latest performance by your buddy Big Dick Johnson?
I don't know. It's starting to lose me a little bit. I'm not in on the gag. Hire a different actor, for God's sakes.
Oh, you don't like it?
I don't know. It's feeling a little tired to me. Okay, I was just thinking about the Big Brother Eric's. Not a real there.
Let's rank those. We did the match. Who do we got?
It's not ranking them. It's that can you trick people like, that played with them into thinking you are them? So I guess
Lisa girl, I still haven't forgiven you for voting me out.
Right.
Not getting me back in the house. They're like, lights out, bitches, Yvette.
Cappy. Right. Right. And then are there any other
she would know Stein, and she'd be like, why do you have Eric Stein as your picture? You'd have to be a little more sneaky to do that one, I think.
Yeah. Who are the other, is there any other Big Brother Eric besides you?
There must be.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're the only three.
That's it.
Yeah, who's the third?
We haven't had one in a while.
Firefighter Eric, who had a Lisa showmance, and Kathy and myself. That's it, I think.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, they're about due for another disgrace one. I think we average height between the three Erics probably about 5'5". I think we all skewed a little older, maybe. I don't know. You think the firefighter may have been 5'9", maybe?
Yeah.
All the Mats share a quality that we all have horrible decision making for tattoos, too.
I do think that Eric Lippman, Cappy, could catfish somebody and say that he's you and you've lost your hair now.
That's true.
I actually once had a full meal with Maggie before I realized that that's who I was sitting with, like easily a 45 minute lunch. And I've seen every episode of this show. So I do think that he could come back in a big way if we plan this out correctly.
Okay. New idea for BB22. We get we cast the three Matts, the three Erics. We get the three Wills, Willie Hance, Will Heiser, and Dr. Will Kirby. And then we get like another three, like Mikes, or there's got to be three Mikes. And we throw them all out, and that's the twist.
Oh, we got Mike Boogie, Mike Dutz.
What a great cast, right?
Yeah. What I love about this is how like, I love the Wills, like the huge disparity in their gameplay. And the thing is, I feel like, the Chilltown's probably going out early on that season. You know, there are obvious threats there. So this could be a big moment for Will from 14.
Yeah.
All right, there's no way that Will Kirby would not be on board with this.
Now, I've got another scam that we could try to pull of that. Could I potentially start to convince house guests to, you know, get them, you know, on the show more that I am a Big Brother Rob or Robert? Is there are there any others besides Big Brother Ford's Robert Roman?
Robert DeVette. Yeah. I feel like you probably know enough about Erica that you could pretend you used to date her.
I think I could say that I was that guy. Like if I said like, I'm Robert from, yeah, I was on Big Brother 4. Look, who would look that up?
Let's test this out for a second. Robert, have you seen G lately? How's everything going?
No, not recently. Yeah, I haven't kept up with anybody. My season was like 17 years ago.
Yeah, I believe it.
X Factor. It was crazy. I like to go dancing.
Right. You've had a recent barrage of guests that seemingly don't even know that you were on Survivor, let alone Big Brother.
Let alone Big Brother. Yeah.
Right. So I think we're onto something here, guys.
Oh, this is great. This is a ratings juggernaut this summer.
Next summer.
Yeah, Matt, now you see why the Summer of Stein went from once a week to every like 2.5 weeks.
Hey, we're going to be live in New York City next week for the live show. Yes. Yes.
Well, is it going to be me or is it going to be Cappy?
Yeah. Is it going to be Robert Roman?
I couldn't have produced that man's last name if my life literally depended on it.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I'm a very quiet and fast Googler.
Oh, thank goodness. AKA, you are Robert Roman.
Yes. Yes, that's one of my skill sets. Okay. Sean Tucker wants to know, from this cast, who would you pay the most money to receive a cameo from them? Now, Matt, are you still cameoing?
Oh, I am cameoing. It is great. I love Cameo.
Yeah. How much cameoing are you doing?
Not enough. Man, people aren't super into it. But
Matt Hoffman's Cameo. Be sure to check it out.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great.
Gallagher's not on Cameo, is he, Eric?
Not yet. I was saying maybe Cameo should introduce a bartering system where you can trade Cameo for Cameo, like, and go back and forth with each other instead. You know, that way, like, right, if Matt can find like someone else at his price level, he could go back and forth with them. I think that would be nice.
Yeah,
I do feel like, you know, coming out of this season, Sam is in a strong lead for strongest cameo of this cast. I don't know if anyone. I feel like Kat, it might do an okay job. I feel like it might. Yeah, she's not going to top that. Yeah, well, I could think of a few ways, but I don't think she. I think Sam will probably, I mean, Nick, I'd be interested in that.
Oh, yeah. That Nick, I think you have to probably pay him to stop sending you cameos.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, Tommy's probably going to have a strong cameo game because he might be doing some happy birthday songs. You know, we've seen that trick one or two times before.
Right. I think that he probably is going to be really good at it. But are people going to want a lot of Tommy cameos?
I can't see anyone wanting to hear from most of these people ever again. I mean, it's I know that All Stars is but a figment of our imaginations. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist, but hard pressed to see a huge clamoring to see most members of the BB21 cast ever again, really, on television.
I totally agree. There's not like, it's not that they're like offensive, but there's no standouts. They're just very bad.
They're just there. Yeah, yeah. I totally agree.
Why? Who's making the cut, Matt?
For All-Stars?
Yeah.
I thought we just cast All-Stars. Didn't we just go through this? Cappy's on.
Yeah. I think that just in all seriousness, I feel like that Christy is a must. And I feel like that Jackson is coming back.
Jackson's going straight to the challenge. If you had to put a gun to my head and say, who are we most apt to ever see back on Big Brother as a contestant? I would say it's gotta be Christy for sure. Kat coming in second for me, then Jackson. And I'll give David the fourth place slot.
Okay. What about, does the winner change things? Like, I feel like that Nicole has come on strong in the TV show. Like if she ends up winning the show, does that change things?
I don't think so. I really think that she's more of a fan favorite than a true contributor to the game or entertainment. It's just not a needle mover. I can't imagine people, you know, seeing that commercial and say, I wasn't going to watch this upcoming season, but damn, that Nicole or Holly are back. You know, now I'm in. Sis is going to be there. This is incredible. You know, I just don't know. Just I think that's been one of the things they've been lacking. Not a lot of real breakout people to root for. And also, it's in recent years a disqualifying factor. If you're a good player, you're not normally brought back. So they consider good gameplay to be boring. So they're more likely to bring back the Davons, sort of the shit stirrers who they know are going to be like totally uncontainable in terms of their personality, no matter what. I don't even know who that would even be for, like someone like a Kemi or Bella type, you know, who's more there for the drama and less there for the game.
Okay. Rye Beans wants to know, hey, Matt, which Diamond DeVito flopped you worse, yours or Christie's? P.S. Matt, I love you. The question is all in good fun.
Oh, God, I was really starting to get broken up over that dig. So thanks for the disclaimer, Rye Beans.
Yes.
First off, Christie didn't. Didn't she only have a Diamond Power Veto because she started calling it that? Like, it never really was, right?
I think it didn't really operate.
It didn't even operate in that capacity.
I do believe that Big Brother called it a Diamond Power Veto. But I think that it might have had
Wasn't it very different than the other Diamond Powers of Vetoes? Or am I wrong about that?
But in fairness, probably nobody on the production remembered how your Diamond Power Veto worked.
Well, whatever it was, mine was worse. So I don't know. I did a terrible thing and a terrible job. I was a terrible player. So Rye Beans, you really got me. Thanks.
Yeah.
How did it compare to the time that you raised your voice during the big fight with Paul and Raven and Alex and you got like all high pitched and were throwing the cereal around?
Yeah.
You dick.
Who was he actually yelling at during that? I can't even remember.
Maybe. I want to say that it Cody? Was
Elena. I want to say it was Mark
was somebody that he fought with a lot.
Boy, Mark is really a surprisingly thirsty man. I did not know.
I met him recently.
I just followed him on Twitter for the first time like a few days ago because of all the stuff is so great.
I'd like to see him back.
Yeah,
he'd be exciting.
So, Matt, you and Mark are no longer feuding.
All right, you bring me on here to do this to me? Is this why you invite me on here?
What are you trying to do? What are you doing, punk?
Boy, yeah.
Okay. This is a good question that came to us from Schmerich Schmein. By the way, is this a troll account that only talks about you?
It feels a tad anti-Semitic.
I didn't want to throw that out there, but yeah, I hear where you're coming from.
Let's just say I did not make this account. Yeah. So.
Okay. Do you want me to? Should I throw out the questionnaire?
I don't think we should throw out the question. We should probably report them, right?
Good luck with that.
This is probably intended for Eric Littman, anyway.
Okay. Which event from this season should get a oral history treatment from Dalton Ross? Hashtag Summer of Stein. Did you read the 20,000 word oral history of Dan's funeral this week, Eric?
I did not, because I think that Dan's funeral is the most overrated thing.
In all of
CBS reality history. They gave the man two vetoes to play in that week, lost both of them, and then he bamboozled Gen City. I mean, this was not all that glorious. All it would have taken is one singular strong-willed player to say, no, Dan, we know what you're doing. We're voting you out. And that would have been the end of Dan's funeral. So I am not going to read this. I heard it was great. I heard the podcast was great. I am not poo-pooing any work that, and I'm most certainly not insulting Danielle at all. I want to be clear about
that. You're going to get dragged.
Yeah, I want to make sure that...
Do you have a personal problem with her?
Actually, I do.
No.
It's a funny thing. I only met her once, and she was complaining incessantly about everything. And it was like 2 p.m. And she, I'm so tired. I'm just so fatigued. I don't want to be doing anything. And I said, you know what, lady, have a cup of coffee. Here's a Red Bull. Don't tell me that. I don't need to have any caffeine. I'm just tired. Jesus, Eric. Like, and she was really foul about it. Just saying, it's not exactly like if you really start untangling this, and maybe they explained it in the oral history, but Shane, Danielle, and Gen City, what a stud player that tricked them.
And it was unnecessary. Like, the effect of it all happened after up in there. Like, he could have just gone and talked to Frank. I don't know. I agree. It was like, it was theatrics, but it was not essential in any way for whatever went down after.
Well, I always thought, though, like, even like the veto roulette and all this stuff, I actually thought that was a flaw in his game because of the theatrics, because he made people feel stupid about what they were doing. Like, he loved rubbing it in their faces and making them look like asses. So I don't know. I mean, maybe if I get the audio version of this.
You can listen to my interview with Dalton Ross. Okay.
I'll feel differently afterwards.
I have to give a lot of credit for the spectacle of it because it made for very, very exciting television. But
totally agree.
Matt.
Oh, don't forget his 6 weeks of immunity for being a coach or how he knew.
It was only four.
He was playing the game and he gave all of his players terrible advice and targeted the strong players on the other teams because he knew that. And he came in with the pre-existing alliance with the other four coaches. But I mean, the man's a genius.
Yeah. Now Matt, I did get into a little bit of a feud with Danielle after I talked about how that she give her social security number to Dan Gheesling if she was left alone in a room with her now. And she said that, why do I have a personal problem with her? And I just want to say that I don't. I played Big Brother a full 10 seasons before she was even on the show. And if she wants to, talk to me at the next Big Brother reunion, I'm perfectly willing to have that conversation at
She'd
the next Hearts of Reality.
Partner.
Yes. Yes.
You're not
salsa dancing.
You're we'll not get Nathan back together.
Yes.
Allison, June, the whole squad.
Yeah.
You're not the as three good amigos, of a guy as that survived.
Mantrell.
Mantrell, what is she doing? What's she up to?
Why is she not at the New York events? Is she coming to the panel next week?
Yeah, when I go out for a beer with Jack Owens, then we'll talk it all over. All right,
Jack. Okay, so then BB22, we have Jack Owens.
He's
Jack,
an old buzzard.
Jack from this season, and we could put Jackson.
Was he CIA or FBI? Jack Owens.
He was FBI, I think.
Okay. Could you imagine him and this Jack? Like, if Jack Owens put his shaker in the fridge and this Jack is like reading him the Riot Act. I feel like we might be on to something here, guys. I would watch this season.
Okay. All right.
Return of the Jacks.
Return of the Jacks. Matt Hoffman, who's going home in the double eviction?
I think it would be great if like a Tommy Christie won and then sent Jackson home. I think that'd be cool.
Eric, you buying that Jackson in the second part of the HOA or the double eviction is going home?
I think Jackson's a definite possibility, but I will go with Holly as collateral damage because I think Jackson will most likely win like a quick hit veto competition when they have a finite amount of time. It'll probably be some sort of, clown shoe of it all. So I think that Jackson is the likely winner, and I think they'd rather Jackson stay. I think that's a production has been getting lucky with the evictees the last couple of weeks, and I don't think that they'd be super hard pressed to lose Holly here. So obviously depends on the power swing. I would give her the top odds, and I would say probably Christy second. Tommy should be the second best choice, but when do they ever send out the correct target? So I'll give Holly then Christy.
That's a good point about the veto, because if it is the clown shoe one, you're right, Jackson will probably win that. But then they might go the route of like the Ian, the ball where you maneuver it. And I don't think he'd have a shot at getting that one.
Now, I always feel like that these double evictions go like worst case scenario. So I feel like either Cliff or Nicole is going to go home in the double eviction. Never goes well.
So I don't know. Really? You think that I'm
just as a person who so many times we get so excited about double eviction. Oh, OK, here it comes. Something great's going to happen. And then it ends up being whatever we most don't want to happen happens.
As a viewer, undeniably, I don't think there's any argument that between undeniably that Cliff is a better player than Nicole. But do you think in the house, what's the house perception of that? Are they all aware of that as well?
I think Cliff is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I got choked up there for a moment. That's why I didn't chime in, because I was the victim of a ball game veto during a double eviction and then went home on that. I remember actually my headspace at the time. Like, I know I need to win this to stay in the house. And then balls started falling from the sky. And then I looked up at that stupid ogre Zach, and he was 6'6" or something like that, and I thought to myself, boy, I think he's gonna have a much easier time catching these than me. And 10 minutes later I was out, so you know, it's not good. I don't like hearing about ball games during double eviction vetoes. I think I could see Cliff going to. I stand by my claims that they know that Cliff is a bare minimum a jury threat. So he could be collateral damage as well. I actually think Nicole is probably the least likely to go in this situation, because I mean, double eviction's a good time to take a big swing. At least get out somebody who's in your way. And I don't think anyone's seeing Nicole in that slot right now.
Yeah. I think Jackson winning the veto, I think you can pencil that in, and then I feel like something unpredictable happens from there, depending on who the HOH is, and who knows? Who knows? That's Thursday's problem. We got still a couple more days to go until then. Matt Hoffman, this was so much fun to get to catch up.
This was so fun. I laughed a lot. I don't know if other people will enjoy this as much as I did, but I had a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah, this felt like this was more for us than for any time.
Yeah.
Like, we could have just like had a call and caught up instead of forcing people to.
That's fine. If anybody wanted to listen, then they could. But this was.
I feel a lot of banter. And then occasionally Rob would be like, okay, guys, let's just wrangle in a BB question here so we can kind of.
Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, I should let you know that we did reach out to Matt Kleins first. Wait,
I thought this was Matt Kleins.
Jerks. All jerks.
You catfished us. You little punk. All right. Matt, if people want to find you on social media, where do they go to find the great Matt Hoffman?
All right. Well, the easy to spell and remember, at Head of Hoffhold on Twitter. But more importantly, Hoffmaniacs, find me on Cameo at BB12Matt for quality content direct to your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it. Oh, I have Instagram. It's art stuff. You BB fans won't care about it. Don't worry. Not important.
Not important.
Not important. Not important to the reality TV community.
I can't be giving out my Twitter anymore after what happened with the Vanderpump guy. I'm changing my handle to Stein for Kleins.
Given the Schmein Stein guy's handle.
No, that, I'm having him removed.
He sends his picture is of you.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. Very creepy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Of course, Eric Stein is going to be part of.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to promote our Twitter profile since we're promoting Shmerik Schmein. I'm going to promote the old school Fat Hogman profile on Twitter. It's a troll account of when I used to be fat and someone made back when I was on Big Brother. So that's my troll account. Let's do that. Everybody follow Fat Hogman.
Okay. What is it? Fat Hogman?
If I remember correctly, I believe that's it. It's something to that effect. Fat Hogman.
Okay. What do they tweet about? They still tweet just all?
No, they don't. I haven't even thought about it until this Shmerik Schmein guy. I'm like, oh, that's right. I had the Fat Hogman. So follow Fat Hogman. Give him some love.
Okay. And I'm at MattKleinsFit at Matt Kleins Fit.
There you go. All right. Well, Eric Stein is going to be part of our big show coming up on next Thursday night. Eric, are you excited for the live show? What's the status of the real life oofometer?
Oh, well, I haven't made that yet, but I do think it would be quite enjoyable. So I will get a poster board and my magic markers out and get cranking on that. And I am legitimately really excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of big personalities to fit in one room. And I think we're going to have a good episode as well. I think it's going to be a blast. I'm excited. How about you?
Yeah, I'm very excited as well that it's been a couple of years since we've done the live Big Brother show. And so I think it's going to be a fun night next Thursday. I was hoping we would get the double eviction, but we got it a week early.
We could rewatch it instead.
Okay, well, let's see how it goes. Maybe it'll be a great episode if it's an all-timer.
Yeah, like a DVD commentary. Like, we'll go back. Like, there I was last Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. A recap of the double eviction.
Yeah, we could do that live in front of the audience. All right. Great stuff from Eric Stein and Matt Hoffman, a pairing that who knows when we'll get the two of you together again.
As often as possible. No, that would sour the experience. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. Okay. Thank you for letting me invade. I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing. You guys are going to have guests, or is this not a regular?
I don't know. Is there anybody else that would talk to us, Eric?
Less and less people are responding to my texts, so I'd say it's probably going to be mad every other week, basically, from this point on.
At the season finale, you can get Polly Calafiore to maybe do the season finale.
It's dangerous.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous.
He has a high fee to book him on the podcast. So, we have to steer clear.
He's not a fan. Okay. All right. Well, thanks everybody who made it through, which is, I'm sure, a smaller and smaller number, but we did it.
Yeah, the summer of Hoff.
The summer of Hoff. All right.
Thanks for bringing me in when you need a ratings boost. I don't think I might have served the purpose, but we'll see.
Yeah, we're trying to get a season 3 pickup right now, so we're doing stunts, and we'll find out soon if we jump the shark just now.
Is this sweeps right now?
Yeah, this is sweeps week. So how are we doing?
Forecast isn't looking great.
Forecast not looking that great, but thanks again for listening, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weirdly shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already. Wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer style.